from LA, California. This is a production of www.bct.com, proudly sponsored by the drink that we all love, Gatorade, and by the PCPA Arts and Performing Center, located at Poway, California, and by John Marshall High School Broadcasting Team. Contact them at 323-485-1278. And now, here is the host of this podcast, Mr. David John Chung. Hello, BCT. This is David here. I'm recording this podcast at my studio located at LA, California. It has been a long time before I posted another podcast up at BCT. The last one, I reviewed a game for you called Hollywood Poker, in which I heard many comments about, so I want to do another podcast today. And today, we're not going to be talking about computer programs or stuff that are related to blindness. But today, we're going to be going into something that's a bit unusual for some people, but it is something that we both like to talk about. That is one person here who loves to talk about languages is right here on Skype with me. His name is Harrison Tu, and he has many gifts, including languages, mathematics, and much more. And both of us have been tremendously blessed by the gifts to learn multiple languages. I can speak fluently Korean, English, and I am learning Greek at the moment. And let's bring in Harrison Tu to the line. Here he is right now.
Hi, I'm Harrison Tu, and I've been a friend of David's for about 3 years. And I was the one who did the Yokohama, Japan train trip. I was also the one who did the 10 Pin Alley podcast. Well, here I am, and I am also, I speak multiple languages, English, of course, Mandarin Chinese, and I'm learning Japanese at the moment. And that's exactly the subject of our podcast. We're going to be comparing and contrasting Korean and Chinese, two of the three major Asian languages.
That's right.
10:49 p.m.
And that's our jaws telling us the time. 10:49 Pacific time, straight up. Okay, Harrison, can you please give us a little history lesson about how the Chinese language has developed over the last 6 millennia or so?
Millennia? I wouldn't say millennia. Oh, you're right. All right, so 5,000, 6,000 years ago, it was ancient China. It was a man named Qin Shi Huang. He was the first emperor of China, and he helped get the ball rolling. I don't think Chinese writing came about until, it was only spoken form. Chinese writing, I don't think, came about until like 4,000 years ago, where, I can't remember his name right now, created picture writing. And this picture writing evolved over the course of these many years until, I would say, maybe, well, sometime in this past few centuries, and it became what's now known as traditional Chinese. And in the 1980s, this China underwent a cultural revolution, and they stopped using traditional Chinese, and they started using a much simpler form called simplified Chinese. You see, Chinese is not written the same as English. In English, you've got 26 letters, no extra, you know, little accents or anything. In Chinese, it's one character for every word, making up to a grand total of 64,000 characters. The average Chinese knows 40% of the Chinese language. Each character in the traditional Chinese alphabet, which is still practiced to get today, sometimes some places, characters can go up to maybe 8 to 15 strokes. In simplified, it's more like 3 to 8 strokes. So it's quite an improvement, because it's quite a lot of studying to do.
What is the
But
difference, Harrison, between simplified and traditional Chinese in terms of structure?
structure, they're the same. It's just much easier to write. It's like it's still just different strokes representing different letters, but what would you rather have to write? 3 to 8 strokes or 8 to 15 strokes?
Well, I don't know about strokes because I have never written in terms of letters, in terms of that
I
kind of
know, but
thing.
let's just say, would you rather have to do like three? Would you rather have to keep track of three symbols or eight, It's just simplified is much more simple.
Yep, I have to agree with you on that one. Now, let me go ahead and kill Jaws.
Unloading Jaws.
I'm going to go ahead and execute him right now.
Untitled.
Right. Now, could you give us some history on Korean?
All right. Korean language. Very interesting history. The Korean language came about not until about 600 years ago. It's a very young language. Korea has been using, for the most part, the Chinese
That would be
characters.
Chinese traditional, just to interject.
Right, correct.
Tradition.
We have been using that for the last, whoa, millennia or so, or longer, as some people claim. I'm still here, I'm waiting for your microphone to stop moving.
Oh, it stopped.
Okay, good.
Keep going.
So the founder actually of Hangul, which is the system of writing in Korea, the founder of this system, his name is King Sejong. This man wanted a system of writing that would that could be learned not only by the people that are in the upper class, but also those who are in the class of poor people. So he developed this writing system, and we keep using this system until this day. It's almost like the English alphabet. It has these differences. It has 14 consonants and 10 vowels. Plus, when you're writing a word, most consonants. Actually, you know what? Let me see. Yep, actually, all the consonants act as another category of a writing system. It's called the supporting letters in English, I think that's what it's called. You have to put the consonant, the vowel, and the supporting consonant at the bottom of the writing paper. So, for example, of course, this is the print version, of course. So, for example, to illustrate this concept, the supporting consonant niun is almost like our n sound, like an n. So, for example, the word none has that n sound at the end. So that's what the supporting consonants do. They support that, they provide that kind of an ending sound to a Korean word. So that's basically the system of Korean language.
David just reminded me one thing I forgot to mention about Chinese writing. There was a system developed rather recently, and it is the same type of thing. It is not used for writing today. It is used for children studying and for foreigners studying Chinese. It's called the Bopomofo system, and it's 37 sounds that make up all of the Chinese language. And you can write words using this system if you wish. And although it's not actually in use as a writing system, the traditional or simplified, depending on where you live. is still, because traditional is still used in Taiwan, only China has insane cultural revolution. So either the traditional or simplified is still used as daily writing. Just one minor point to clear up.
All right, hey Harrison, in terms of writing Chinese characters, in terms of traditional or simplified, is there a way for visually handicapped people to write Chinese in Braille?
There is, however, I don't know it, and in that respect, it does not matter if you're writing in a simplified or traditional. What it does matter is which dialect you're writing in. You can either be writing in Mandarin or Cantonese. In print Chinese writing, this does not make a difference. A Mandarin person can read a Cantonese writing, and vice versa. Unfortunately, in Braille, it is not that way. It's all letter-based or something like that. Jeez, I don't even read Chinese Braille.
I actually learned Korean Braille when I was young. I still can't read it. Louis Braille system of writing with six dots, it has been implemented in the Korean culture about 55 years ago or so. And that system is used by the many Korean visually handicapped students around the world today. Harrison, tell me about the difficulty of the Chinese language in terms of for children that are learning the language for the first time.
Are you saying foreign children or Chinese children?
Native children.
Now, if you mean writing or speaking?
Speaking and writing, both.
Right, for speaking, see, with any language, speaking is intuitive. You must remember the days when you were learning English. You didn't actually sit down and take lessons, and you picked it up along the way. Well, it works the same way in Chinese. At least Chinese speaking. The difference is, in English, you were able to go through school, and you know, within the first 3-4 years of school, you were able to learn all the alphabet, and you were able to print any word. In Chinese, it's totally different. In Chinese, you are learning to read until the end of high school. I'm telling the truth. I mean, you are learning about 10 words a day, and you have to write those words 100 times for homework. And so you've got, like, Chinese homework every day. 1,000 characters, 15 strokes each, or something like that. So that can have to 15,000 strokes. I've heard that your hands are killing you by the end of the day, and I wouldn't be surprised. Because I felt a Chinese character, and it's quite confusing. I couldn't keep track of where all the lines and strokes and everything went. But, yeah, so writing is not the easiest, although speaking it's just like English. Any language is like that.
In terms of Korean, here is the difficulty with Korean. The difficulty with Korean is how one uses supporting consonants in their writing. Because, for example, the verb to sit, S-I-T, that can be written only one way. If you use the wrong supporting consonants at the bottom of your writing the word, it doesn't make sense and it's not a word. So in Korean, that supporting consonants thing is so important. It can be a single supporting consonant or a double supporting consonant. Harrison, do you have any questions for me about Korean?
Not really. It seems like how Thai was described to me once.
Yeah, it's a very difficult language indeed.
Yeah, but Chinese is more difficult because, hey, think about it. I have to learn about 20,000 characters. That's insane. No one can do that.
You know, in terms of Korea, when I was in Korean school, I remember doing a whole bunch of, what they call 받아쓰기 in Korean. What that is a teacher gives you a sentence. You know, you remember the spelling test, right?
Yeah.
It's just like that, you do it with sentences.
No way, in Chinese, same way. It's a writing test, and the Chinese teacher gives you a sentence, and you have to write out every individual stroke of every individual character. I'm not sure what it's called though.
In Korean, it's called 받아쓰기, which is translated writing by receiving.
Ah.
Almost that way.
I guess 写从, something like that. I don't exactly know how I would literally translate that one.
Let's talk about the grammar of Korean for just a second. Now, this is where it gets weird.
Okay.
For example, in English, let me say, I go to school. I go to school. In Korean, 나는 학교에 갑니다. Now, this is where it gets interesting. 나는 and I, they're at the same place. The subject is at the same place. I go to, I go, the verb. This is where it gets different. The infinitive to school. No, that's not an infinitive. No, I'm sorry. That phrase to school, it comes second in the Korean language and the verb comes last. So it's like I to school go, almost like that.
In Chinese, that same sentence would be translated 我去学校. Okay, now things get interesting in Chinese. The grammar is the same. 我, I, 去, go, 学校, school. I go school. There is no to. 学, learning. 校, place. 学校, learning place.
Now that is weird how they do that.
So it's like it's not a definite word for school. It's like learning place. I go learning place. It's really weird if you think about it. And they don't have past tense or present tense or future tense. They don't bother with tenses. 我有去学校. I did go to school.
Mm-hmm.
我会去学校. I will go to school. So they add in extra words instead of changing the words that are already there. They add in extra words.
We also do that too. For example, I could say 나는 지금 학교에 갑니다. I just added a 지금. That is a present progressive form of the sentence, the verb, go. I am going.
So, in Chinese, 我正在去学校.
Now, if I change it, let's see. 나는 학교에 갔습니다. Now that changes it to I went to school, past tense.
我有去学校.
Now if I change it to future tense, 나는 학교에 갈 것입니다. That means I will be going to school.
我会去学校. You can see which verb I'm changing. You can see that I'm changing the second word every time.
And what does that second word stand for?
The second word is the tense. But in present tense, there is no second word.
Really?
Hold on a sec.
Now, what was that?
Sorry about that. We edit that out. That was my uncle driving me crazy again. Can you edit that out?
I will.
Okay. Anyway, let's keep moving on.
Alright, let's talk about more grammar stuff. Do you guys have a thing called participles in Japanese and Korean? As Chinese?
Participles. 我有去了. Hold on a sec. In a sort of kind of way. Like, I don't know exactly what you mean by participles.
Like, remember they say, like, in Korean, they go, wa, a, like, that kind of thing?
Particles.
Sorry.
There are no particles in Chinese.
There are no particles in Chinese?
Yes.
There's no such thing. It's all a flowing mass of words.
Weird.
Sometimes it gets hard to understand. If you're speaking incredibly fast and the accent you are not familiar with the Chinese accent, it can get incredibly hard to understand.
Say something that's long really fast. Let's let the listeners hear how it sounds like.
Give me something and I'll try to translate.
Okay, let's see. You're going to be taking the SAT exam on Thursday.
在星期四你会再弄 SAT.
That's weird. Now that translates to the following. 너는 목요일에 SAT 시험을 볼 것이다 in Korean.
Really? Because in Japanese, not to get sidetracked, but I'm also learning Japanese. 목요일에 you said?
Huh?
You said Thursday was 목요일에?
I said 목요일. 목요일에.
Oh, 목요일이 in Japanese.
Weird!
Yeah. Actually, Chinese, speaking of days of the week, Chinese has a very easy system for days of the week.
Go ahead.
It's 星期一, the first day. 星期二, the second day. 星期三, the third day. Wednesday. 星期四, the fourth day. Thursday. 星期五, the fifth day. Friday. 星期六, the sixth day. Saturday. 星期天, the day.
What's
Sunday.
That one?
Sunday.
Why do they call it the day?
I don't know. I don't understand how that one works.
For us, in Korean, it goes like this. 월요일, that's Monday. 화요일, that's Tuesday. Notice there's a pattern. You have that 일 at the end. 수요일, Wednesday. 목요일, Thursday. 금요일, Friday. 토요일, Saturday. And now I'm gonna put in a little fancy word here. 주일, the Lord's Day.
Now, is there some connection between the first words?
월, 화, 주, 목, 금, 토. I think, hold on.
Because in Chinese there is. It's 一二三四五六.
I don't think there is. I don't think so.
Oh well. That's just something you gotta memorize.
Maybe it's something that has been modified from the Chinese language. I don't know.
It isn't. But then, unless it came from like old Chinese or something.
Remember, in Korean, we use Korean and Chinese at the same time. We use both. That's why it's more difficult.
Because the thing is, in Chinese, it's just the first day. 一二三四五六. That's 1 through 6. Just as it was 星期一星期二星期三星期四星期五星期六.
Mm-hmm.
In Chinese, the days of the week. Then 星期天 is just an oddity.
And in Korean, the syllable 일 is always attached to the end of the day. So I think I think 일 means day. Yeah, it is right. Day.
Yeah. But in Chinese, 星期 is always attached to the beginning, and that means day of the week.
Well, folks, we could go on for hours with this, but I don't think that could be a case. Well, we want to close out this podcast thanking you for listening to this podcast. We want to give you our contact information. You can reach me.
Hold on a sec. Let's have you do your contact information in English.
Okay.
And then you translate that, whatever you say, into Korean.
Okay.
And then I'll take it into Chinese.
Okay.
Then I'll give my contact information in English.
Mm-hmm.
I'll translate it into Chinese, and you do it in Korean.
Okay. Here we go. Here is my contact information. To reach me, please send an email to David, David, CS as in snow, PhD seeker at gmail.com. Here's translation. 저한테 편지를 보내고 싶은 분들은 여기로 보내주세요. David, David, CS as in snow, PhD seeker, @ gmail.com.
如果你要跟他讲话, 你可以 email David, CS, PhD, oops.
That's right.
SEEKER at gmail.com.
Now it's your turn.
Yeah, it's period. Okay. If you want to reach me, you can Skype me at TECHLUVER or email me at spm@monkeytalk.com. 如果你要跟我讲话，你可以 用 Skype 打电话给我。我的名字叫 TECHLUVER。你可以 email 我用 spm@monkeytalk.com.
해리슨을 이메일을 보내고 싶으면은 여기다 보내주세요. Harrison, what is your prefix on that email?
SPM.
Okay, it's SPM 골뱅이 monkeytalk.com. 그리고 해리슨과 1대1로 대화하실 분들은 해리슨의 스카이프 컨택트 리스트 그거로 추가를 부탁해 주세요. 해리슨의 스카이프 아이디는 TECHLUVER. 감사합니다.
Okay, now I'll say goodbye, Chinese, 再见, Korean,
안녕히 계십시오.